Okay. We'll go into our final session today. In the law of correspondences, there's probably no better example of the working out of law of correspondences than the principle of reincarnation. Why does reincarnation fit so well into the law of correspondences? That's right. How about
they come back the next spring?
What does?
Plants,
yeah. Okay.
Stars go away, they get reborn.
Now how about rain? Do you think rain is a good example of reincarnation? After all, isn't reincarnation just the principle of recycling? And what happens when a drop of rainwater falls? It falls under the ground, and then what happens to it?
Evaporates.
It evaporates, and where does it go?
In
back up in the clouds, and then what happens? Comes down again, evaporates, goes up in the clouds, down again. So that drop of rainwater reincarnates over and over. Well, some people say, well, the drop merges with other drops, but there's something that doesn't merge, and that is the molecules that make up the drop. The molecules, the water molecules, stay as individual units, and they are recycled again and again and again. Grass is recycled, like James says, again and again and again. Everything gets recycled. How about planets? Do they get recycled? Planets eventually live, die, disintegrate. Then the particles of matter gather together again, and they create new planets. This Earth, do you realize, has been reincarnated quite a number of times? How many times, I don't know. In this particular system, we are in the second solar system. Okay? Since the creation of this universe 13 billion years ago. 13 billion years ago, we had the Big Bang, and this is the second incarnation of this solar system in this universe that we're in at this present time. So, what happened to our solar system in its first incarnation? What did it learn? Anyone know? What's that?
Mistakes are made.
What happened in the first universe was intelligence got programmed into matter. So that intelligence that got programmed into the matter of this Earth and this solar system paved the way for the creation of man to be made in the image of God. So that had to happen first in the first solar system. And that's why it was dominated by what is called the third ray of active intelligence. So active intelligence operated on the face of the great deep, so to speak, and produced the first solar system. And how far life advanced on that, we're not given a clear idea, but that was kind of like our first estate. And we reached a degree of consciousness, but not human-like consciousness. But the great accomplishment in that age was the development and the incorporation of intelligence in matter. In other words, all kinds of computer programs existed as residual programs that maintained themselves when this solar system began to incarnate again for the second time. Just like we incarnate as one being and we learn certain lessons, and then we take those lessons with us when we incarnate a second time. Now this Earth has probably incarnated maybe hundreds or thousands of times, but in this particular sphere of activity, we're in its second incarnation. And the first was to program intelligence in matter so that life could develop as we see it around us now. And the development here is governed by Ray 2. Does anyone know the characteristics of Ray 2?
Love, wisdom.
Love, wisdom, right. So love and wisdom are the manifestations that have to be learned in this solar system. Now there's one more solar system to go before we complete this learning cycle that we're in. And when this Earth falls apart, the sun dissolves, and then they will go into a period of Pralaya in this universe, and then they will be reborn again into what is called the third solar system. And does anyone know what ray this will be governed by?
First ray.
And it will be governed by the first ray, which represents power, willpower, and purpose. Now, before this happens, we will see foreshadowings of willpower and purpose. We'll get a sense of it. Matter of fact, the first ray incarnates psychically here, but not in its fullness. It won't incarnate in its fullness until the next solar system materializes. But when the next solar system materializes, life will be of a quality just that we can't imagine it from our perspective here. Just like, 500 years ago, people couldn't imagine life as we have it right now with the internet, space travel, and all these things. But it will be much more advanced. People will have much more power. People will be like gods compared to us today. Matter of fact, at the end of our evolution in this system, the seventh race will be like gods. So we're in the middle of the fifth root race. And the next root race will be a race of synthesis, where all the races will kind of merge and produce a synthetic race, which will be the best qualities of all the races. This is one thing that will bring a period of great peace, because one of the things that causes differentiation or distrust is people look different than each other, and races look different. And a lot of times in our history, people think if people are of a different race, then there's something wrong with them. And so what's happening right now is all the races are starting to merge. Not very many people are of a pure race anymore. And so the races will merge until eventually, probably I would guess within 1,000 years, that we will not differentiate much because of race, because there will be such a merging. But of this merging, the sixth race will appear, and they'll be a very beautiful people that will have the qualities of the best of each race. And then after the sixth race, the seventh race will appear, and that's the final race. And that's a race of the hermaphrodites, where it will be male and female united into one. And so we will actually reproduce in a different way than we do today, because we'll be male and female as one. Some people theorize that we will reproduce by the power of thought alone. And so well, we won't be men or women, but we'll be both. Yeah, we won't be weirdos. It'll be a very beautiful form. But the seventh race will be as it was in the beginning. In the beginning, where we were hermaphrodites. In the beginning, it says God created man. It says God created man, male and female, and called their name Adam. Okay. It wasn't his name Adam. God created them male and female and called their name Adam. Okay, so it wasn't Adam and Eve in the beginning. It was their name was Adam. In other words, the male and female were together, and together they were called Adam. And then God took the rib out of them, the male female, the rib out of the male female, and separated the sexes. And the separation of the sexes produced the second root race. But the first root race were hermaphrodites, and the last race will be hermaphrodites. So that's kind of interesting. So anyway, it's interesting that we're headed in this, at the end of this period of our incarnation on this planet to learn everything possible about love and wisdom. And we're just really beginning to learn about love and the fellowship, brotherhood of man. And at the this is the main lesson we have to learn, that we're all brothers, we're all from the same source, we're all brothers and sisters, I should say. We're all from the same source, and one person deserves as much empathy and love as the other person, and we need to look on each other as souls.